Aloha, and welcome to Global Family Live. I am your host, Kay Snow Davis. Have a very special guest tonight, Paul McCormick. We're going to be talking about emotional barriers to wealth. Can you be spiritual and still love money? That's a pretty big question. Now just relax. Because no matter where you are or what your life feels like right now, this hour is for you. Relax and take a deep breath. As you breathe in, just breathe in aliveness. Let your body feel that aliveness. Now let that breath out and just let go of all the stress of the day. Take in another breath and feel the love in the universe. And release your breath in gratitude. Wow, what a week. What a week. I happen to be in Colorado tonight and Paul's in Oregon, so we're so happy you could join us this evening. And I wanted to just talk a little bit about the extremes of this time of year. Some of them are, in fact, weather extremes, and some of them are the emotional storms inside. So when you combine those with the stress that many people put themselves through for holiday shopping and traveling, and usually the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas, include family gatherings. And family gatherings bring up lots of old patterns, bring up lots of old reactions, sometimes bring us into proximity with relationships that are not real clear. And a lot of our childhood anxieties or reactions start surfacing. So one of the things that we can focus on in this time of very high energy on the planet, even if we weren't doing weather and we weren't doing holidays, this is a very intense time of transformational change. Even though we don't know what it's all about or where is this all happening and coming from, it is happening. We're each feeling it in our own very special way. So one of the things that can help immensely during time of transformation, time of change, instead of letting yourself get focused on issues, issues position us with each other. And when we get positioned, it doesn't usually support resolution or movement, or cooperation. So one of the key things, if you will begin to look at the situations in your life, not for the issue, but what's the quantity of energy that you are experiencing. If you focus on how much energy you have around the issue or around the condition, then it gives you a much better sense of how much focus you need to put on the situation or condition for you to manage your energy. So it will help you be much more self-responsible and feel like you really do have the ability to change the condition, because of course you can manage yourself. We cannot always manage, rarely. Ever, the outside conditions involving other people's choices or their reactions. But if you know you can manage you, and paying attention to how do I feel? Is this just a little bit of energy going through my body? Then it's probably going to take just a small focus. Maybe even a couple of deep breaths will help release a small amount of energy. But if it hits you right in the gut, makes your head drop, your hands start sweating, that's a big amount of energy. That means your adrenaline just shot through the roof and brought you all this energy. So those are the times when it's probably really a good idea. Take a break. Go outside. Take a walk. Go do some stretches. Drink some water. Give yourself time to let that energy move through your body. And there's a couple of things that are really important when you have an intense energy experience in your body. Your cognitive conscious mind is not going to formulate or move or create decisions in the same way. Those are two totally different things. An experience from the neck down with an intense amount of energy is going to take over. And until you get that calmed enough and your adrenaline system starts recalibrating, your cognitive thinking is going to be influenced by that huge, huge level of energy. So be respectful of yourself. Be respectful when you're in a high, intense, emotional condition or experience. Do what you need to do to comfort yourself, balance yourself, and help yourself manage. This will definitely improve your strength, your energy. It supports your immune system. And many, many times it can really, really help dissolve or resolve or lower some of the emotional reactions that could occur with others. So during this season, stay focused on gratitude for you. Stay focused on appreciation for you. And it gives you a huge field within which you can then embrace and receive and enfold others. Now I want to just remind you, if you've joined us here, that this is Global Family Live. I'm Kay Snow Davis, your host, and you're in for such a treat tonight. Paul McCormick is back with us. He was on air with us November 12th, and we talked about emotional barriers to wealth. So we're going to get to have some more information tonight. Remember, you can call in if you'd like and ask Paul questions. The number in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. For Canada, 888-815-0756. And for everyone else in the world, we have a direct line to BBS, which is 530-876-3222. I want to tell you just a little bit about Paul. Paul is a very amazing man. Very amazing man. He's led a phenomenal life, and he found success very early in life. Now, when he started with nothing and by the age of 27 became the owner of a multi-million dollar company, and at 29 he became the CEO. For the next 10 years, he helped entrepreneurs develop and grow wealth, and at the same time coached over 100 of his own employees on how to achieve success. But even with this financial success, Paul realized that he was emotionally and spiritually bankrupt. Eventually, he learned how to harness the power of these three principles to bring success to all areas of his life. And he's going to share these principles with us. After 17 years, he walked away from his multi-million dollar career, and he now writes and speaks about how you can find peace, happiness, good health, and financial prosperity. So he's made it possible for us to have his wonderful, wonderful presence, his energy, and his wisdom with us here tonight on Global Family Live. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you, Kay. Thanks for having me back on the show. I'm so excited to be here. And if you're just tuning in with us, you'll really want to stay and listen to what we're talking about, because I'm going to be sharing the biggest hidden secret of all time, and that is how to find lasting satisfaction in your life. And if you want to call in, I think that would be wonderful, and I will offer free books to anybody who calls in and provides your mailing address after you speak on air, and I will send you an autographed book to anybody who calls in tonight, because I would love to hear from you. And there's a part of you that is the same as all of us that makes you want something in your life, want something more. And I was that way. I think most people are that way, where we're searching for something. And tonight, I'm going to reveal the secret to satisfying that desire. And if you can understand that secret, you'll never want again. And I was 23 years old when I first learned how to use these principles in my career. And only 4 years later, at 27, that's how I became the owner of my company. So these principles work for creating wealth, they work for creating happiness, and they work for changing your own health. And I've experienced all those in my own life, and I went on to write my book about it called Secrets of the Miracle Inside. And today we're going to be sharing just one idea through my life and what I speak about in my book. One idea we're going to talk about that you can begin using right now in your life to change your life around. You've heard that saying, flip this house. There's a TV show called Flip This House about people who buy houses and remodel them and give them a facelift, and then they sell them. You know, it's flipping the house around. And that's what we can do in our lives, is flip our life around. And how do we take our lives from being one where we're not happy, we're not satisfied, or we might not have the finances that we desire, and how do we flip that around? And that's what we're going to be talking about today. I'm going to share four principles that I talk about in my book. I have a whole chapter called Find the Creative Power Within in You. And there's four principles of creation that you can use to create the life that you want. And you can use it to create finances. You can use it to create the peace and happiness. You can use it to improve your health. It's the same principles and process that works for all things. And I'm going to share those today. And that's the secret. The secret is learning that principle, those principles that are hidden from so many people. And so as I'm speaking, anytime you want to call in, I would encourage you to call in and share what's going on in your life. And let's talk about how these principles could work for you, where you're at right now, the things you're dealing with relationships or your job or your career. What are the things that you could do to flip your life around if that's what you want to do?
And Paul, I love it that you use the metaphor and the example of flip the house.
Yeah.
Because in dream study and consciousness work, house actually represents our state of consciousness.
Really?
Yes, it does.
Wow.
And so to flip the house literally is to flip our state of consciousness into that reframed condition where we're receptive to the very principles that you're bringing us.
Well, that's interesting. And the thing that is the most difficult to do is when you're in the midst of the difficulties, how do you flip it around? In other words, when you feel controlled by your own emotions, whether they're fear or pain that we experience in life through relationships and the challenges that we face, when you're in the middle of that emotion, how do you change that? In other words, I can say, get a new perspective, you know, just look at things and see everything as positive. But when you're really dealing with the difficult times, that's much easier to say than to actually do. And so the principles we're going to be talking about today will give you the tools to understand when you're in the midst of emotional difficulties, how do you flip those emotions around to get you going on the right track? That's the most that's the pivotal point of the whole process, is if you can flip your emotions when you're in the middle of it.
And I think what you're saying too, Paul, that's so important for us is when we have tools, it means that we practice using them so that we're stronger. So when those upsetting conditions come, we actually have something we can rely on because we've been practicing.
Yeah, you've been practicing. And that's a key thing. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that, too, is how do you prepare, how do you meditate, how do you train your mind to be thinking about these tools so that when things come against you and you instantly want to react the way that you've always reacted, if you've been practicing, you've been meditating, you've been using visualization of thinking of the things that you want to create for your life, then you'll have the tools more easily available. And what I find is, as long as I'm consistently practicing these principles in my life, then when the challenges come to me, within a few moments, these ideas surface in my mind, and I know what I need to do at the right time.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I'm tempted to go down the wrong path in my thinking, and I start getting stressed and worried about things. But fairly quickly, I mean, maybe in a few minutes, maybe in an hour, all of a sudden, my consciousness brings into my subconsciousness brings into my conscious mind exactly what I need to do in that moment to flip the emotion around.
So this really helps you increase your trust in yourself then, doesn't it? That you know, given just a little bit of time, this is going to support you.
It's a process of building your own faith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And so having faith in knowing that these principles work and having faith in knowing that your thoughts can influence the things in your life. In other words, you're in control. You're in control so much more than you think you are. And when you begin practicing these things, you start to find that things change in your life. And you see that you're starting to steer the circumstances in your life. And you're starting to move your life towards the things that you desire for your life. And that begins to build faith. And then the more faith you have, the easier the better it works. And so sometimes you start with little things, but you begin one step at a time, just like a baby learning to walk. You start practicing these principles. You get a little more faith. You start taking bigger steps. And the bigger steps you do, the more faith you have. And pretty soon it becomes routine that this is the way that you live. You create the things that you want in your life. And I'm not saying that I don't still have challenges and fall into difficult times. But the question, the secret is, when you do that, can you quickly turn it around? And I usually can because I've been practicing these. So life can really get good. I mean, on all the different aspects that you think about life, the relationships, your finances, your joy and your peace, and your health. When you can get all those things in your life working really well, it's a wonderful life. I love
it. Yes, it is. And you know, this is the time of year where I think the places in our life that don't feel good, they seem to be exacerbated in our experience because we desire to have that, have our life feel good and have our life work better. So I'm really happy you're providing these principles for us at any time, but particularly now, Paul.
Yeah, and when you desire it and you don't have it, there's a dissatisfaction there.
Yes.
Okay, and the dissatisfaction is a wonderful friend to have. Do you know that?
Because it's an activator, isn't it, Paul?
Yeah, it's a friend because it's helping to show you the way that you need to go. In other words, pain, every time pain comes into my life, I embrace it as a friend and say, okay, this pain is here or this dissatisfaction is here to show me that right now I'm looking at things wrong, I'm thinking about things wrong, and it's bringing me pain. It's bringing me pain to show me that I need to change, that I need to change in some way. I need to change my perspective. I need to change my thoughts. And so every time my thoughts and my perspective are not what they should be, I have dissatisfaction or I experience pain and struggle in my life.
And I think one of our pieces that's so important, Paul, when you're saying using pain or dissatisfaction to make changes, I think we've been so trained that our first response is get rid of it.
Yeah, get rid of it. And it's like a gauge, you know, like a gas gauge.
Right.
The gas gauge tells you how things are doing in your gas tank.
Uh-huh.
If it's full, you're happy. If it's empty, you get worried, right? So it's a gauge that tells you what's going on in the car, right? Well, your emotions are the same thing. The emotions are a gauge of your life, okay? So when your emotions are good and everything's happy, things are going well, okay, it probably means that you have a proper perspective. You're looking at things correctly. And when now struggles come and you begin having fear and doubt and pain and struggle, well, that's an indicator, okay? Think of the emotions as a gauge for your life. And when the indicator starts to say, I'm not having fun, I'm experiencing pain, I'm experiencing struggle, it's indicating that we're not thinking right, that we're not looking at things with the right perspective, and that we need to change. Okay, so that's why I say I embrace this as a friend, because it's telling me something important about how I'm getting off course. And if I listen to the emotions, then I practice these principles, you know. And so what is it that I want? What is it that I need to change? How do I need to get a right perspective? And as I begin to make that change, the turmoil goes away or the pain goes away and things start to change in my life and things start to get better. And so because I paid attention to the emotions, I was able to change my life now and get back on course and move it in a direction that's very positive, one that I can enjoy. And so that's really why I say it's a friend, because it's a gauge that tells you when you're getting off track. So it's interesting, a little side note here, but I want to point out a topic in your book. You gave me your book, Kay.
Yes, yes.
Wheel of the Life Cycle.
Yes.
The Power of Love to Heal Your Life. And, of course, I'm so interested in, you know, the ages and the cycles we go through. And, of course, so I looked at, like, where I am. I'm coming up right on 40 here. So I'm in this 37 and a half to 40, right?
Oh, wow. A great, big, wonderful cycle, Paul.
It's
That's
so
great.
Yeah, it's so right on, you know, with what I've gone through the last 3 years, right?
Uh-huh.
So I'm just going to read the first sentence here, right?
Okay.
This age, 37 to 40, is one of the most powerful cycles of transformation in your whole life. Any conditions, beliefs, and experiences or relationships that are confining or constricting you will be remolded and removed during this cycle. And, of course, that stands so true with what I've gone through over this three-year period or this two-and-a-half-year period, because I've come out of the corporate world that I was in. I was, you know, I spent 17 years in the corporate world. I was the CEO, running this business, growing this company, having a lot of good experiences, but it also wasn't what I wanted to be doing in life. So it was during that period that I made this huge transformation, walked away from my career, wrote my book, began speaking and teaching and writing.
That's a very big change, Paul.
Yeah, to move away from the things that I felt was constricting me from doing what I was really passionate about. So, of course, when I read that, it aligns extremely well with you know, really what I've experienced. So I just wanted to thank you for writing that, and it's very inspiring to me, and I'm sure that it is to anybody who can match up, you know, where they are in that cycle and look at the things happening in their lives that correspond with it.
I really thank you for referencing the Wheel of Life Cycles, Paul, and the coherency that I see with the principles that you're talking about and my book is that it helps us so much. If when we're going through life experiences, we have some way to contextualize that, so that we can break out of our judgments or break out of our insecurities and just see ourselves differently. We need to love and appreciate ourselves and see ourselves differently. and know that no matter how we feel, we're still evolving. And I love your courage. I really love your courage, Paul, because in today's world, and especially as an American male, for you to jump ship and follow your heart and come into this space of conscious evolution and be such a willing, very pure contributor for change, it's really a blessing. I'm really grateful for your life.
Well, thank you. And at the beginning, you said, wow, Paul's led a phenomenal life and talked about all these things I had done in my career. But the truth is, everybody out here in the world, everybody listening today, you all have a phenomenal life. You all
That's
have
so
phenomenal
true.
Experiences. And if you feel that you haven't yet seen it manifest in your life, that doesn't mean that you're not a phenomenal life about to blossom.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that everybody's life is equally phenomenal, and it just takes us opening up our eyes and recognizing how phenomenal our life is, and then beginning to live it. I mean, my life was no different. I mean, I had all kinds of struggles and pains and wanted to run away from life in a lot of ways, a lot of times, and I finally came to realize that life is phenomenal. And sometimes I felt low self-esteem and all these other things like
mm-hmm.
everybody else does. But the truth is, we are all phenomenal spiritual creatures.
Boy, that is so true, Paul. And, you know, I think another thing that you're helping us to remember is that there's no age differentiation on this. There's no cultural, there's no barriers to our phenomenal self. And there is such a coordination and coherence with universal timing. And if we're just willing to let that phenomenal self emerge, like Paul is talking about, the universal timing will magnetize us into a greater expression if we just say yes. And you sure have said yes, Paul.
I said yes. I'm embracing life all the way. I want to live life full out. You know, I want to enjoy it and live it and share it. And so that's why I'm writing my book, speaking, teaching these principles. And when I wrote my book, the most amazing thing happened to me, particularly when I got to this chapter. And I wrote this chapter called Find Creative Power Within You. And that's where I talk about the four principles that I'm going to share each one of those principles with you today. But as I was writing that chapter, the most amazing thing happened to me. I was on vacation. My wife stayed home, and I took my son and our black Labrador Retriever, and we went on a motorhome trip, and almost 4,000 miles down through Montana to the Grand Canyon, came over to the California coast, and we were driving up the California coast on Highway 1. Now, Highway 1 goes right along the ocean, right along the cliffside.
It's so beautiful.
It's beautiful. But as we were driving up that, it was that particular day that I was writing this chapter called Find Creative Power Within
mm-hmm.
You. And I wrote about these four principles that I'm going to share right after I tell you the story. But I wrote about these four principles. Here's how you create anything you want in your life, okay? By believing and practicing these principles and taking action in your life. And of course, I outlined my whole chapter on here's how you can change your life. And that morning, we got up and we started driving. Now, every morning on the trip, we would fill up with gas in the morning because motorhomes take a lot of gas.
That's right.
And this particular morning, we drove out of the campsite, and we went right past the gas station. And I looked at the gas gauge, and it said it was only a quarter full of gas. So I should have got gas. And I looked at the gas station, and something inside of me prompted me to just keep driving. And it was one of those things that I couldn't really explain why. There was no rational reason. I mean, logically, I should have gotten gas. But intuitively, something inside of me just said, no, just keep driving. And my son looked at me and said, Dad, aren't we going to get gas? And I said, no, we're just going to drive, and I think we'll make it to the next town before we need gas. Well, we set out going up Highway 1, and pretty quick I realized this was pretty remote. I mean, it's a beautiful scene, but you're driving along the cliffside. There's no car, no other cars. There's no houses. There's no gas stations. There's no stores. There's no nothing out there.
Right.
And we're driving, and we're winding along the edge of the cliff on this narrow road, and that motorhome is just sucking up the gas, and pretty soon we're down to like an eighth of a tank, and you know, my son starts looking at me, and I see fear and worry in his eyes.
Uh-huh.
Now, my son is autistic.
Uh-huh.
And, he can become extremely fearful of situations
right.
where something unexpected happens and there's a sense of danger,
uh-huh.
and if strangers are around, he will panic.
Uh-huh.
And so this was a huge deal for him.
Yeah.
We ran out of gas. And he said, Dad, are we going to run out of gas? And I said, no, we're not going to run out of gas. And I said, I think we'll make it to the next town. But as time went on, you know, I looked on the map and I realized, you know what, we're not going to make it to the next town.
Wow.
And in fact, we're not going to make it back to the last town because I've gone too far now.
Uh-huh.
And finally I realized we are going to run out of gas.
Uh-huh.
And I turned to my son and I looked into his eyes and I saw his eyes full of fear and worry. And I said, you know what, why don't we create a miracle just like I talk about in my book?
Uh-huh.
And he says, what do you mean? I says, well, you know, why don't we create a gas station right out here in the middle of nowhere? Because we need one right now. And he looked at me and he said, can we do that? And I said, yeah, we can, by practicing these principles. And I said, I'm gonna meditate right now because we need this to happen. And I believe that it'll happen. And I said, I'm just going to take a few moments. I'm going to meditate for like 30 seconds. And I said, and then we're going to find a gas station right in front of us because we're about to run out of gas. And so I did. I practiced this. And I had phenomenal faith at that point in time, more than I'd experienced before. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that it would happen.
Uh-huh.
And I can't quite explain how that faith was so strong, but it was there.
Uh-huh.
And so I just meditated for about 30 seconds, and we turned the corner in the road, and there in front of us was a store and a small hotel and a gas station.
Wow.
And that's exactly what my son said. He looked at me, and I looked at him, and he said, wow.
Oh, that's so great. That's so great for both of you.
And those are the sorts of things that, over time, when you consistently practice these principles,
mm-hmm.
things like that happen in your life. Things like that happen more and more often. I call them the everyday miracles that begin to show up. And I'm not going to say that, you know, you can think that you can be a millionaire tomorrow and that you're going to become a millionaire tomorrow. But when you consistently practice these principles that I'm going to share, more and more things begin to come into your life. And a lot of it's because you're taking action to move your life in that direction. But sometimes it's like what I just explained, where it just comes into your life at the right time.
Right.
And it's one of those everyday miracles.
Uh-huh.
And it's because I've been practicing these principles that I find joy when those things happen, that I can experience that level.
Well, and what a joy for your son to have his feelings of anxiety and concern, and for you to work together as a team in
yeah.
bringing in this miracle, and then to have that manifestation. That's a huge support for him in his confidence level as well.
Yeah, because he's 12 years old now, and he sees
mm-hmm.
he sees things like that, and he questions them, and we talk about them. But he sees a number of things in our life that go very well, you
mm-hmm.
know, and we continually reinforce how we are directing many of those things, and
mm-hmm.
of course they continue to come about in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And so when your life is running out of gas, you can use those principles. You can use these principles we're going to talk about to guarantee that you can begin changing your life to become uh-huh. what you always wanted it to be.
Uh-huh.
And it has to work. It's the laws of nature. It's the way
right.
it's the way the world is.
And the universe is consistent.
It is. And
in
I'm,
ways that we don't even understand.
Yes. And the more that you can come to recognize the way that it works.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And then use it.
Yes.
You'll see that it keeps working.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
It always works.
Uh-huh. Well, this is very exciting that we get to have these four principles, and just so timely for the holiday season, Paul. This is perfect.
It is. It is, absolutely. You know, I want to quote Einstein. Einstein's somebody that I like to... I read some of his works, and I read a lot of what he's written about from a philosophical standpoint. And he says, I'm going to quote him, there are two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other way is as though everything is a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two choices you have. There's either no miracle or everything's a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And what he says is exactly what we're talking about right now.
Mm-hmm.
If I could manifest a gas station with my 12-year-old son, imagine what you can create for your life when you mm-hmm. consistently practice these principles. So let's talk about the four principles.
Great.
What are they? And if you're listening right now, I encourage you to grab a piece of paper and a pen and a pencil and write down these principles. They are directly in my book, but if you don't have my book right now, write it down. And I should point you to my website, just in case you do want my book. My website is www.thesecretsinside.com. And you can buy my book there, or you can buy it on Amazon. And I do talk about these principles, but let's share them right now. The very first principle, and I call these the four principles of creation. It's what you do to change your life, to become whatever you want your life to become. The first one is imagination and desire. I kind of group those together because you creatively imagine and visualize what it is you want. And it could be anything. It could be creating a more satisfying life. It could be creating more money in your life. It could be creating the relationship with somebody that you desire. It could be a number of things, but what is it that you desire, and what is it that you can imagine for your life? And so many times we limit ourselves because we don't think something's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so the very first principle, the way that you begin to change your life, is to imagine the possibilities. Imagine that that you cannot fail. Imagine that everything you do is part of a divine plan that you're co-creating, that you tap into consciousness, and you're creating your own destiny. And it might not always go the way you want, but when it doesn't, you know that it's still supposed to be that way.
I think that's a really important piece, Paul, is two things that you've just said I really want to highlight is we really need to know we're co-creators. And in co-creation with the universe, we are not the designer. And it's not going to always look the way we want it to. And chances are it's going to be even better.
Yes, but sometimes it doesn't look better.
No, it doesn't. And yeah. Doesn't feel that way
yeah.
at all.
Sometimes you might want to co-create that you improve your financial situation, and all of a sudden you go broke.
Exactly.
Okay. And when that happens, have faith to recognize that you are influencing what's going on, and it might not be looking like it's going the way you want, but it's still good. It's still okay. It's everything happening is still part of the plan, and it's okay. In fact, it's good. It's supposed to be that way. But don't give up on co-creating. I mean, don't give up on your desires. When something like that happens to me, I say, you know, I don't know what's going on. It looks like everything's falling apart, but I'm trusting that something good is just around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when I was almost ready to run out of gas.
Right.
I could have had doubt, and I could have had fear. And I could have said, you know what? We're running out of gas.
Uh-huh.
I could have turned to my son and said, we're going to run out of gas. I'm sorry about this, son, but we're just going to have to deal with this.
Uh-huh.
We're going to run out of gas. And I would have, and we would have ran out of gas, and I would have had to deal with the consequences of running out of gas.
Uh-huh.
But no, I chose to say, okay, we're running out of gas, and I cannot understand quite why this is happening. I don't like what's happening, but you know what? There's something good just around the corner.
Uh-huh.
Something good is going to come of this. And of course it did, and immediately I knew that this was no coincidence that I was writing this part of the chapter that particular day.
Exactly.
And I was prompted internally through intuition and spiritually led not to get gas that morning, which
exactly.
was out of the ordinary.
Uh-huh.
And so when this experience happened, I knew that it was so that I could share that experience with others.
And it's such a vivid and realistic experience that we can all imagine, because I know if we've driven a car, we've been close to that situation or in that situation, so we can remember what you've just told us and how that faith took you around the corner and there was the miracle.
There was the miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's a very vivid example. It doesn't always come so quick. So
exactly.
If you're wanting to...
Or so obvious.
Yes. If you're wanting to change relationships, it might not happen in one day. If you're
right.
wanting to change your financial situation, it might not happen in one day. But it will happen. I mean, the moment you begin imagining and desiring what you want, you're setting it in motion to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you have to do more. You have to do the other three steps. So that first step is imagination and desire. Your imagination, you're visualizing what you want. You clearly understand what your desire is for your life. Okay? And I meditate. I meditate on that every day. I meditate on, you know, what is it that will make me happy? What is it that will make me peaceful? You know, what
mm-hmm.
do I want for the relationships and the financial
mm-hmm.
situation to be? And I meditate on that. And I trust that it's going to be there.
Uh-huh.
So the second principle is belief or faith.
Uh-huh.
I call it belief, but it's belief or faith. It's to believe that you can have it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, no matter how long it takes, no matter how it comes to you, sometimes it might come to you disguised as something else, but it'll eventually become exactly what you want it to be. So to believe that you can have it, to believe that you're worthy of having it, and to believe that you have the ability to influence your life to get there.
Uh-huh.
In other words, some people want to become a millionaire and win the lottery.
Uh-huh.
Okay? A lot of people think that's... If I say, well, do you think it's possible that you'll win the lottery? They'll say, well, I think it's possible. But you see, thinking that it's possible is not the same as believing that it's going to happen.
Right.
Because I can ask a lot of people, do you think it's possible that you can win the lottery? And most people will say, well, of course it's possible.
Uh-huh.
But if I say, do you believe that it's going to happen?
Uh-huh.
They would say, no, I don't think it's likely. Okay.
Right, right.
So the level of belief that I'm talking about is belief that you know it's going to happen, you know that it's within your power to create it, and you're going to create it. There's
uh-huh.
no question about it.
Uh-huh.
It might take some time, but there's no question in your mind you're going to create it. And that's a level of belief, that's a level of faith that comes with practice. And you have to break down your desires into something that you can believe, because it doesn't work unless you believe it. It doesn't
uh-huh.
work unless you believe that you can have it.
Uh-huh.
So when I was 23 years old, I believed that I could become the owner of this company. And I was like a new kid out of college. And there was 50 other people there. They were all older than me, all more mature than me, all, you know, way more experienced than me. And I believed that I can become the owner of this company. And I believed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I created in my mind the steps that I would do over the next week and months and years to move myself towards that position. But I believed absolutely that I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I did it. Because
exactly.
I believed I could and I moved myself towards it.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot obtain something unless you believe absolutely that you can
mm-hmm.
and that you will bring yourself to having it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably what stops people from having a lot of wealth, is they think, well, I know it's possible, but I don't know what to do, so I'm not, I don't believe that I can create getting
mm-hmm.
myself there, because I don't know what the steps are to even do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't have enough belief, and it can't happen.
And not enough belief, and then not even taking the smallest steps, because I think what you're also sharing with us is you had huge belief, and you thought about the steps, and then you took steps of action.
Right, and those are the next principles.
Uh-huh.
So you're right on. I mean, you've hit it on the head. That's actually the fourth step is action. Okay, but,
uh-huh.
before that, there's a third step. The third step is exchange. What are you going to exchange? What are you going to give in return for what you want? In other words, you don't just be a taker. There's sowing and there's planting, right?
Right.
You sow seed, you plant. There's sowing and reaping, I mean. So you
uh-huh.
sow seed, you reap a crop.
Uh-huh.
And you can't expect that you're going to reap a crop if you never planted seeds. And
exactly.
by the same token...
Exactly.
You cannot expect that you're going to win $1 million into your life when you're not giving any value out.
Uh-huh.
You see, there's balance. There's balance
uh-huh.
in the universe. There's balance in the laws of nature, where there's give and take. There's
uh-huh.
planting and reaping. And so part of the laws that I've realized work, and this is not just based on my life, but it's based on everybody's life who's extremely successful and has found these secrets, is that there's planting and reaping.
Uh-huh.
And so what are you going to create that's valuable to somebody else? What are you going to give to the world? Either through your time, your goods, your services, your money, your talents. You know, what is it that you're going to give in exchange for what you want? If you want love from somebody else, you have to give love.
Mm-hmm.
If you want more money, you have to give the world value.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give value through products or services or time, you know, something that they want.
Mm-hmm.
It could be information that you're sharing with them that is valuable to them. But you have to give something of value. So the third step is there has to be an exchange made.
And you know, in Hawaii, Paul, the Hawaiians relate that to the breath.
Okay,
that
the in
you exchange
out.
The breath, and if you don't let the breath out, you cannot bring the breath in.
Yeah, right. And there's always some sort of an exchange that happens. When something's created, there's always an exchange. When wealth is created, there's an exchange. When relationships and love are created, there's an exchange. And even in the gas station example, it almost appears like there wasn't an exchange. It almost seems like, wow, it was just a miracle and it happened. But really, there was an exchange.
Mm-hmm.
There was my willingness to be writing a book about creation and to sharing information that's going to help people. And there was my willingness to be open towards listening to the Spirit lead me and say that whatever experiences are going to come to me, I'm going to share this with the world. I'm going
uh-huh.
to help share it because I'm going to help people's faith become stronger. And so...
Well, and you exchanged with your son, too, Paul, because... You registered his fear, and you exchanged confidence and support for him. And then when you saw that change, then you brought him in as a co-creator with you. So you made a huge exchange with your son also.
Right, right. And not only that, but with myself, because at every experience that I have where something like that becomes manifest, it builds my own faith.
Right.
And so my faith gets stronger, other people's get stronger. But there is an exchange on several different levels, as you're pointing out.
Uh-huh.
So that's the third step, is there has to be an exchange. And if you don't recognize and offer an exchange, you probably can't expect to see manifest in your life what you want. And this is huge, because there is so much focus recently on the ideas of the law of attraction and the secret, you know, the book and the DVD called The Secret.
Right.
And there's a lot of people that get a misunderstanding about what these principles are. And they get the first one, they get the first two right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I imagine what I want and I desire
mm-hmm.
it, right? And then they understand the second one, that I have to believe, you know, so I have
mm-hmm.
to desire something
mm-hmm.
and I believe. But they don't get the last two, okay? They
right.
don't get that you have to exchange something.
Right.
And so you can sit in your living room every single day and meditate and visualize about you becoming a millionaire and having the relationship with somebody that you want in your life. But if you just continue to sit in your living room meditating and believing, you can sit there for 100 years and nothing's probably going to happen.
Chances are.
Right. So what is the exchange?
Uh-huh.
If you want love, you need to go give love. If you
uh-huh.
want money, you need to find a way to create value for other people.
Uh-huh.
And as simple as this sounds, it's the way that the world works. I mean, every business out there is creating value for somebody else, and they're getting value back through monetary exchange, right?
Uh-huh.
It's the way it works on a spiritual level, on a physical level. It all goes together.
Well, and one of the things that we have to look at here on the physical level is we're about to run out of time, so we have about 3 minutes left, so I want to make sure we get to wrap this up with our fourth point here. So go for it, Paul. Tell us our fourth point here.
The fourth point is action.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you touched on it already, and you're
yeah.
right on. I mean, it's action. So as we said, the first one is imagine what you want. The second step is to believe that you can have it.
Mm-hmm.
The third one is decide what are you going to exchange for it. And then the fourth is action, to create an action plan, to create steps. What am I going to do? How am I going to create value for somebody else?
Uh-huh.
And what I teach people is, you know, if you want to, for example, develop wealth in your life, decide how you're going to do that around something that you're passionate about. In other words, if you don't like real estate, don't go get into real estate.
Right.
If you don't like being a school teacher, don't go be a school teacher. If you
uh-huh.
don't want to be a CEO of a company, don't try to be a CEO of a company. What are you passionate about? I mean, do you like painting? Do you like riding horses? Do you like being an accountant or an engineer or a teacher? Whatever you're passionate about, you can create action steps, and you can create ways to give value to others
mm-hmm.
and begin using these principles to create peace and happiness and wealth in your life. And if you're practicing these steps, and you don't feel that you have as much of whatever you're desiring, let's say you're trying to create more wealth, and you feel like, well, I'm making money, but I'm not seeing as much wealth in my life, then I would say you're probably not making a big enough exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it's the breath. It's the balance of the breath.
Yeah.
Let more come out so more can come in.
Bring more value to more people
mm-hmm.
if you want to see more financial reward for yourself. Either in the quality or the quantity.
Yeah. Well, and Paul, the richness of your passion for this and the richness of your life as you have lived this, I'm so excited about this. So I do want you to come back again, and I'll contact you, and we'll set up another time that we can continue, because this is such important principles in today's world of the stress and the change that's happening. So remember, the title of the book is Secrets of the Miracle Inside, and you can get that on Paul's website, which is www.thesecretsinside.com or on Amazon.com. And I want to just thank you again, Paul, so much for the life you're living, for this wonderful time that we got to have you here with us, and for exchanging and sharing these very powerful principles from your book. And I certainly want to wish you and your family many, many blessings during this holiday season, and we'll look forward to having you back on Global Family Live.
Well, thank you, Kay, for having me, and I look forward to being back as always.
Good. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. So I want to remind you that you can go to my website, which is www.globalfamilyeducation.com, and you can check out the book that Paul referred to called The Wheel of Life Cycles, The Power of Love to Heal Your Life, as well as Point of Power, A Relationship with Your Soul. If you want to preview that information, I have a free call for you at 212-990-7370. These items, my books and the CDs, make wonderful Christmas gifts. So I want to say to you now, Anoai Ko'alahele, blessings on your journey. Ahui ho, until we meet again. Aloha.